Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. The legendary UCLA coach John Wooden said, "It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen." It was the Italian poet Dante who said, "A great flame follows a little spark." Our guest today is tall in stature. Her height and ability in athletics is a reflection of her academic achievements and an extension of her inner life, her life of faith. She's with us to share the difference her faith in Christ has made in her life and how it has affected others. We want you, as we normally do, we want you to know why we have this program, The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Alfredo Canenzi and I and my other co-hosts and our program team, we are here for you because we believe that God wants to remind you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. And wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever your challenge is, whatever tension there might be, whatever excitement, anticipation there may be in your life, even at this very time, we want you to know that the Lord loves you, that Jesus loves you. He cares and he knows. And he wants to draw your heart closer to his. Rebecca Du is a junior at the University of Hawaii. She's a center for the University of Hawaii women's basketball team. She was named All-WAC Academic 2 years in a row. She's had a stellar collegiate career, continues to do so. As a sophomore, she played in all 30 games. Starting 21 of those games, scoring a career-high 13 points, and led the team with 11 rebounds. She recorded her first double-double against East Tennessee State. She had a career-high 15 rebounds against Kent State. She averaged 4.6 rebounds on the season. As a true freshman, she played in 28 games, scored 6 points, even in 9 minutes, in her debut against Loyola Marymount. Her accolades, her success continues, but it's the internal things that are most meaningful and most touching. She's a 2008 graduate of Family Christian Academy in Madison, Tennessee. She helped her team win the 2006 New Zealand Nationals. She was a high school class valedictorian and received Chancellor's Scholarship and 2 academic awards from Every Nation Leadership Institute. She has traveled extensively and has extensive experience internationally in playing basketball throughout Asia. She was born in Gainesville, Florida. She has 1 brother and 2 sisters. Her parents are Renee and Ken Du of Auckland, New Zealand. And Rebecca Du is with us today. Rebecca, welcome to our show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Danny.
You know, I mentioned a little bit about where you grew up.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your growing up years?
Well, I was born in Florida, as you mentioned, but I feel like I'm from everywhere because I've practically lived everywhere.
You've been a lot of places.
Yeah, my family moved around a lot when I was little, growing up. And in fact, when I was 9, we had our biggest move ever to Auckland, New Zealand. Before that, we had been living in Tennessee. My parents and I moved there as a missionary. So they're actually living there right now, even as I'm going to school here in Hawaii. And I was about 9 years old at the time, and I remember that it was just such a huge change, like emotionally and culturally. And I mean, growing up, you know, can be a roller coaster ride as it is. But then having, you know, changing not just states, but changing countries and having, you know, not just leaving everything familiar behind, but but having a whole new culture and also like going through the, I guess you could say, the spiritual battleground of church planting and stuff that my parents went through. I mean, obviously I was, you know, not really heavily involved at 9 years old, but just like being there through all that, it was definitely a stressful time. But through that, I ended up starting basketball later that year. So I just look back and think, wow, what if I had never, we never moved? What if I never played basketball? Like, it's just interesting things that I had never played, never picked up a basketball before we moved to New Zealand. And it was,
Wow, you know, your dad was an athlete too, you know, playing football and basketball. You know, did he see in you a future basketball player? I mean, I could imagine when you, you know, when he first took you to the courts, maybe had you shoot around, he must have had some kind of vision of thinking that, oh, my daughter one day is going to be a player, a basketball player in the college level.
Well, you know, it's funny that you should say that. Like, I'm obviously really tall now, but I was tall when I was young, but I wasn't, like, the standout athlete. Like I said, I never really played too much when I was in my younger years. And then when we moved to New Zealand, my dad, honestly, he was, you know, such, like, a great dad and such a loving dad. Like, I think he wouldn't, you know, like, he obviously probably had dreams for me. But he always told me that he didn't care, like, he didn't care whether I, like, played basketball or not, or whether, you know, like, it wasn't, I didn't feel the pressure, like, to do it, which I think was great that I was able to just, to choose it and do it because I eventually realized that I was good at it, because I didn't start off good at all. I mean, but you know, it was definitely fun when I started.
Yeah, you know, Danny mentioned earlier about, you know, your inner life. It really comes out of that relationship with God. How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home with strong Christian parents. But to be honest, just growing up in a Christian family, going to church every week doesn't guarantee that you're a Christian. So I definitely, you know, don't think that from hanging around Christians or just from growing up in a Christian home that I got a Christian that way. But I do remember at a young age really making a decision one day and understanding that what being a Christian really meant, and understanding just that I was a sinner and that, you know, I hadn't committed murder or any, you know, horrendous crime like that, but I had definitely been living for myself and definitely made decisions that were totally about me. And, you know, I didn't care about anyone or anything except if it benefited me, you know, things like that. But I remember committing my life to follow Christ and to turn away from doing my own thing and to follow his example instead and take up my cross each day to follow him, no matter how hard it got. It's definitely been a, you know, journey since then. Like, I think I was around 6 years old at the time. But so obviously since then, I've grown up as a person, and I've, you know, my relationship with God has definitely developed, but I think my decision honestly started back then at an early age.
You know, it's important to, with this being such an important relationship decision that you made at an early age, you know, Rebecca, I'm wondering, you know, when a child makes a decision to accept Christ, age of 6.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, sinner is a sinner, but there's a certain level of innocence that's there as a child. And then as we grow up, you know, there are things that happen around us, many variables that go on that we have no control over, influences that may impact us. As you grew, you know, grew into your teenage years, those early years of adolescence, puberty, adolescence, as you grew, how did you work through some of the changes, some of the tensions, challenges, temptations at that period in your life?
Well, growing up, I was like a really outgoing kid, but when we moved to New Zealand, I found that it was just such a big stress on my family and such a big stress on me too, and just I really felt like I had to own a lot of things for myself, and my parents were so busy, you know, with church planning and stuff, like I felt like I'd take on a lot of responsibility as the oldest child.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like in some ways I was drew into myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, the temptation was for me to just go back to thinking that I had to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that I had to like make things happen on my own. But through that, it actually ended up pushing me closer to God, and that I started reading my Bible more.
Mm-hmm.
And I started like owning my relationship with God more and more, because growing up in a Christian family, like it's the temptation can be to just rely on the strength of those around
right,
you.
Right.
But I was put in situations where I couldn't do that so much, and I had to like really serve God on a more personal way. And so I feel like my teenage years were hard and were definitely a transition. And starting to play basketball and everything, I remember like beginning to go on tours, couple to Australia and a couple around the island of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And just being around my other teammates, who a lot of them came from broken homes. Mm-hmm. And just a very different background. But I just remember having to like the struggle of like wanting to, you know, to fit in, but at the same time wanting to stand by my convictions.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it was definitely when push came to shove, I had to draw closer to God. But there were definitely times and definitely situations where I responded in ways that weren't, you know, weren't the way I knew I should.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, Rebecca, okay, you know, growing up, let's say growing up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a child growing up in a Christian home. You know, I'm sure there are some points of tension, dynamic tension. It doesn't have to be negative tension. It could be positive too, but there are certain pressures. But then again, being the child of a pastor, and more, even more than that, not just the past, but the pressures even of church planting. There are
right.
many, many, you know, intricate details that
That's
go
right.
on in the art of church planting too. So my thought is, and you can correct me or confirm with me, my thought would be that a child growing up in that environment is almost like, you know, you talk about a pastor's kid or a Christian's kid, but a pastor's kid and a church planter's kid is like, on steroids now. I mean, we're talking about the pressures,
yeah.
the tensions.
Yeah.
Well, am I like on track? Am I tracking? You know.
Well, I mean, I definitely felt like there's a lot of pressure and high expectations
mm-hmm.
and things like
right,
that.
Right.
But I really feel like there's been, I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but there's been like a grace for it as well.
Okay.
And I
right,
feel like
right.
God's honored the fact that my parents have put him first
mm-hmm.
by helping them parent and like helping them make the decisions like that are best for, you know, best for long term and for our family as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate the fact that my parents have really put family so high on their priority list. Like,
even moving
to New Zealand, like they had a choice where they could send us to, you know, a new school, public school, and the school system, by the way, is totally different in New Zealand. It's like a European system where
mm-hmm.
everyone goes to school, wears uniforms, and anyway. But they were all thinking about long term and always thinking about what was most important, and so they ended up making the decision to homeschool all four of us, and that was a huge, huge decision that my mom made, because we all four of us are kids are so close in age,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
I mean, there were times where I felt, you know, like, oh, I want to go to school or whatever, but there were times where I was just so thankful to my mom that she just invested so much of her life in us as kids, and honestly, the reason that we're, you know, still, you know, walking with God as teenagers, and I just, you know, just turned 20, is the fact that my mom and dad invested so much in us when we were younger. So, but I mean, it definitely was hard growing up in a, you know, in a foreign country. And as a pastor's kid, there are definitely high expectations.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, they were all for the good, though. I think they were all for the good.
You know, you said earlier when you took ownership of your faith, I think a lot of times people who grew up in a Christian home just kind of sheltered under the parents, but never really owned their faith in God. Yeah. And we wonder why sometimes they get bitter or they get, you know, disillusioned in the relationship with God, because they see, you know, they see all things happening to their parents, their family. But I like the fact that you said you took ownership of your faith. And because we know that you believed at age 6, but there's a place where you have to take ownership and really come under His lordship and allow Christ to rule in your life. And I feel like maybe because you made a choice by doing that, God's grace came upon your life. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And Rebecca, you had mentioned about the faithfulness of your parents.
Yes.
And how they put God first. They put the family, gave family top priority. And, you know, like Coach said, you know, the fact that you, there was a grace. A grace, right. A favor of God upon you and your family. And, you know, I think the details of how God orchestrates our lives, and now specifically your life. Here you are, you know, in college. You've been blessed with an opportunity here at the University of Hawaii. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Rebecca Dew. She's a leading athlete here for the women's basketball team at the University of Hawaii. She's a scholar athlete, and she's a woman of faith. But you know, those things don't just come easy.
That's right.
It takes focus. It takes dedication. It takes persistence. It takes faithfulness. And she's here to tell us more. When we come back, she's going to share what God did and how He brought her to Hawaii. What transpired. What He's done in her heart. What He continues to do. And the impact on others. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back with more from Rebecca Dew. Stay with us. Wandering the road of desperate life. Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro.
The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and we're here with our special guest, Rebecca Du. Rebecca is she plays center for the University of Hawaii women's basketball team. She's a junior there at UH. Rebecca is she's been blessed with great height. She's 6 feet, 4 inches tall. I mean, Coach, you and I wish that together maybe we would be about 6'4", yeah?
Man, that would be my dreams.
But we have Rebecca with us, and, you know, she's, before our break, we're just talking about how she became a follower of Jesus Christ at an early age, and how through her life experience growing up in a home where her parents are pastors, and they planted a church in New Zealand, and how she grew up, and how God orchestrated her and the progress of her life. And the Lord continues to do things through basketball, through her academics, through her social life. But God did something even more as she went through her high school years and on her way to college.
Wow. You know, Rebecca, you know, growing up, I guess, in New Zealand, would you ever think that you were going to come to University of Hawaii and play basketball?
No, I never did. I mean, New Zealand's just so far away, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in high school, I was, you know, as I kept playing basketball, I was like, hey, you know, I'm pretty good, and I would love to keep playing. And I really felt like a dream in my heart. Like, I really want to play basketball in college. I really want to get a basketball scholarship. And this wasn't a pressure my parents put on me at all, but it's just something I kind of took and ran with. And as I kept growing taller, I was like, okay, there's a reason I'm tall. I think I'm going to be tall for a reason. Like, I would hate not to use my height,
right.
You know?
God gave you a gift, right?
A tall girl, not people on that, you know?
Yeah, if you're 6'4", you know, you kind of expect them to play some kind of sport, right?
I know, yeah. So there was a little bit of expectation with that. Like, okay, you're 6'4", Rebecca, maybe you should do something with that. But,
wow. Hey, you know, give us the details. How you came to play for UH? How did you come here?
Well, I actually visited Hawaii. It was actually for any reason but basketball a few years before I was eligible to play. With my parents, I think they were actually here speaking and visiting some friends, some family friends. And while we were here, we just thought, hey, let's visit UH, let's meet the coaches and just see what happens with that. And so I ended up meeting the then coach Jim Bola with my dad, and I was very fortunate in that being so tall and also having had the opportunity to play and travel internationally with the New Zealand Tall Ferns in Asia, you know, and around Taiwan and Japan and China, that I had some international experience and I had some game film. So being able to show them the game film and basically just be right there with my dad, I pretty much got offered unofficially a scholarship on the spot. So I was very happy with that, and my dad was very happy. And it kind of was like, it was so amazing because I had been thinking, I'm in New Zealand. Like, who's going to scout me? Who's going to come recruit in New Zealand? Like, you know, as you know, most coaches just recruit locally or, you know, travel to a few different states.
Right. Or
if they hear someone really great, then they'll go watch them. But how are they going to hear about me when I'm way in New Zealand, you know?
Mm.
And so it just kind of happened. I guess it happened supernaturally because I honestly had no idea that I was going to play in Hawaii. And even when I first came here, I was like, Hawaii's great. Hawaii's wonderful. Like, I know people and there are family friends and there are churches here that my dad's connected with and things like that. So
did you feel like, Rebecca, like the favor of God was upon you? And
I did.
You know, because a lot of times things happen for a reason, and God, he has a way of, we have what we expect, what we believe in, for God have a way of going beyond that. Was coming to Hawaii kind of like beyond what you ever thought about, you know, going to college, playing basketball?
It was definitely beyond, 10 years ago, to be honest, I did not think I would still be playing basketball, let alone have a basketball scholarship. 5 years ago, I would never have thought I'd be at Hawaii, because I honestly had pictured myself in, you know, in Tennessee or around that area where I had, you know, grown up when I was a very, very small girl, just because I have some extended family there and everything.
Oh, wow.
So, but just the fact that I ended up in Hawaii, which a big part of that decision was knowing that I would have church family, knowing that I'd have spiritual family. And looking back, I don't regret that decision at all. I feel like it was the right decision. In fact, like a couple years later on my recruiting visit and when I actually signed for Hawaii, I just remember on the ride back, feeling just such amazing peace and joy and just being like, thank you, God. In fact, I remember just the night of like signing it, I was like jumping around my hotel room, so excited. And I mean, it was an excitement beyond just, wow, I've got a scholarship, but an excitement of, this is where I'm supposed to be.
That's the key right there.
You know, Rebecca, I mean, I we can kind of feel a swell of rejoicing with you, kind of reliving it as you tell it to us. Yeah. You know, part of the thrill of it is that you didn't know that there was you almost like you couldn't know God was going to surprise you with something.
Yeah,
and you know, people today, even our listening audience, Rebecca, we're often wondering, you know, what is the significance of what I'm doing right now.
Right.
I'm kind of thinking back of, you know, every day you're going to practice. Every day you're doing your drills. You're doing the basics, right? You're just working on your skills. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you're just working on those basic techniques, never really knowing where it's going to take you or how God is going to, you know, figuratively speaking, just kind of blow a kiss on you and launch you to a whole nother level, another location of the place of resource and opportunity. And I think you today are a breath of fresh air, a fresh air of hope for many of our dear listeners, because, you know, things can be mundane. It seems insignificant when no one's really watching or there isn't a spotlight of recognition going on. But you stand as an example of hope of what God can do if we're faithful.
Right.
Yes. Oh, and when you talk about day in, day out practice, I'm like, don't remind me, because, oh my gosh, it's funny, because most people who see a game or something, you know, what everyone sees is just like the, you know, the crowds or the, you know, the excitement of competition.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much behind the scenes. And there's so much work that goes into a game. And I just have so much respect for other athletes and so much respect for all the work that that people have done. But it's definitely being faithful with the little, and then God will give you much.
Because
I definitely did not think I would be at this point.
While we're on the subject, Rebecca, tell us, you know, were there some challenges that you faced along the way, you know, in the period before you even came here?
When I was 15, 16, actually, I was, this was in high school. I was on the junior Tall Ferns and I was going to go to Australia for a tournament. I was so excited about that. The day before I was going to fly out to Australia, I opened up a book that I've been reading and the words just were all over the page.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked because, like, my eyes, I, like, couldn't read it. I was like, what is going on?
Wow.
And so, as long as the short of it is, I ended up going to an eye doctor and finding out that I had a hemorrhage in my left eye, like, out of nowhere. And they didn't know. They said it was idiopathic, which I guess means, like, they had no idea where it came from or whether it was from, like, a scar that I had gotten from getting hit on the head playing basketball, or they didn't know what it was. So I basically had to give up that trip. And I ended up sitting out for a whole year playing basketball. And that was a huge, huge, had a huge impact on me, because I was obviously, at that point, I really wanted a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of at those couple ages, you know, your last couple years in high school that you really want to make your mark so that you can get a scholarship. So at that point, I basically was like, God, do you want me to have a scholarship? Like, what? Why did this happen?
Wow.
I mean, I was angry about my eyesight because I, you know, it's permanent damage. Mm-hmm. I was angry about missing that trip. I was angry about maybe missing the opportunity, you know, to get a scholarship. But basically through that year, I now view it as a godsend because I was able to have all that much more time with my family. Mm. Instead of being traveling all the time and practicing every day, I was able to spend time with my family, get, you know, connected with my friends, serve more in the church, things like that. So it really gave me a lot more time to do the things that are more important and more long-term.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca, it's really
awful going through it, though.
Yeah. You know, it's great that, you know, you got perspective on that because a lot of times, you know, people in those kind of situation, they either get better or they get bitter. And, you know, you made a choice to try to see it from God's perspective. And I think a lot of times, you know, people go through that. And, you know, in life, they have expectations. They have a goal, a dream. And then there's a little bump along the way, you know, a bump in the road. And really, I think in these moments, we can draw closer to God or we can get bitter and walk away from God. And listening to you, I know you made the right choice that you got closer to God.
Yeah. Well, I think it would have been hard for me to get bitter and, you know, walk away from God for long with my family around, like, you know, but at the same time, like, yeah, it definitely was a choice and it definitely was a day-to-day choice and not just to just surrender it all to God, but to just fight off the, you know, feelings of depression and feeling like, you know, feeling like somehow I'd lost everything, you know, like feeling...
Yeah.
You know, Rebecca, take us a little deeper. You know, you talk about depression, just the utter disappointment. We get depressed when we lose something. You know, we lose an opportunity, whether it's a friend, a family member. I mean, that'll send us into a spiral of depression.
Right.
Any of us.
Yeah.
And so there you are. Your hopes, your dreams. It's almost like it just vanished before you and completely out of your control. Right? You're doing the best you can.
Yeah.
And then this happens. How did dad, mom, people around you, how did they kind of coach you through this process?
Well, it was very, very difficult in some parts, but my mom, she has a great knack for finding, like, the perfect scripture, like, to encourage. And so she gave me this scripture, let patience have its perfect result, so that you will be complete and lacking in nothing.
Mm.
And she would tell me before every single appointment, and before every single, I ended up having like 7 laser treatments and 4 eye injections.
Mm.
And she would tell me before all of those surgeries, my patient has first result, you will be complete and lacking in nothing. And as I just look back, I'm like, I can actually function, I can actually play basketball. My peripheral vision's intact. I can actually read. You know, I can do everything.
Wow.
And it's almost as if it hasn't happened, except, you know, that it has. And it made me so much stronger of a person, like, through going through that.
You know, Rebecca, when we come back, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more with us about the healing process. You know, how God brought about his healing. God can heal us in many ways.
Yes.
He touched and healed you. Not only that, but he took you through a valley of struggle. But you came out through that valley of struggle a much stronger person with a substance of faith that is more than just articulating a belief with words, but backed up with a life and conviction of action. And when we come back, Rebecca, I want you to share with us because it's going to be so much more meaningful.
Wandering the road of desperate life, namelessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host today, Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest, Rebecca Du. Rebecca is a scholar athlete at the University of Hawaii. She's a basketball player. Not just a basketball player, she's a star player. She's a center. She's a scholarship athlete at UH, had a tremendous athletic career in high school, and she's carried it on here at the University of Hawaii. But you know what? I guess we should never undermine or overlook.
That's right.
When we see people. You know, you could watch Rebecca Du on television. You could see her just performing at her peak level of skill, right there on the basketball court,
right.
On TV. But you may never have known what she went through in her teenage years, in those critical years where an athlete is vying for a position, vying for a scholarship, and just a complete blindside of an affliction that impacted her. And she shared that with us about something that took place in her eye, and it was a very serious condition. Rebecca, tell us how did the healing process take place when you went from looking at a book, opening a book, and you see the words all over, your eye is hemorrhaged, I mean, and it's in such bad shape. How did it happen?
Well, I went to the doctor, and basically I felt awful because I already had, you know, the feeling I won't be able to go on this basketball tour and what's wrong and all the fears of have I lost my eyesight for good and all these different fears running through my head. And basically they said, okay, you need laser treatment now before it gets worse. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it could get worse. How could it be worse? And then I ended up getting that, and it was such an interesting experience. I remember coming home wearing like the old the grandparent glasses, you know, like the big wide-rimmed brown glasses to protect my eyes from the sun, and I couldn't go out in the sun for like 3 days and things like that. So I felt like I was just shut in a dark room, and spiritually I felt that way too. It was just like, what is going on? And, but through that, I ended up having to get several more, to keep the condition stable. The doctors were, they had never really dealt anything like this in a young person. So they didn't really know what to expect. And I basically couldn't play basketball for a year. And I kept getting more and more treatments, but through that, I had been told at the beginning by my doctor that this damage is permanent, that you're not going to improve your eyesight. The best we can do is hope to try to stop it from getting worse. And to hear that, you know, where up to that point I had had, you know, great eyesight, not 20/20, but, you know, pretty good eyesight, and then to have, like, basically be one-eyed was not fun to go through at all. And then, but through that, I ended up getting so much prayer and stuff, and so much love and support from my family and just people I knew. And I ended up now I haven't been back to the doctor. I only go once a year appointment now. I haven't had a treatment in 2 years because it's gone completely stabilized. And in fact, some of the permanent scar tissue in my eye, it's actually receded, which kind of don't even do that. They don't even recede. You know, like, so the most we went from hoping that nothing worse would happen to now having improvement in my vision.
Awesome.
from the first part, and having a completely stable eye with no new hemorrhaging in you know, the last couple of years. So I just thank God so much, especially since here I am playing basketball, and I don't have to think about, you know, worry about my eye, because it's been stable because God's taken care of it. And I just
now, what was it like, Rebecca, when you re-engaged with basketball? You said you took a year off, forced leave from the sport, right? And then you come back. How was it like getting back into it?
I was definitely scared to go back in, a little bit hesitant, because I'm one of those people that likes to do something 100% and likes to work my hardest in order to feel confident in it. And then to come back in and be like, okay, I can't base my confidence playing on my experience. I can't base it on my time of practice because I've been out for a year. I have to just basically surrender it and, you know, trust God and work my hardest and hope for the best. And it was actually right through that time, I could almost say ironically, but I would say supernaturally, that in that next year, I actually made the Tall Ferns team, which is the national women's team.
Wow.
And I actually got to travel to Asia over the next couple of years. So it was so supernatural that through that time where I was the most fearful, and, you know, where in the natural you would look at me and say, oh, you know, she hasn't played, she may have lost her opportunity, that all the doors started to open up and everything just came together. And it was very supernatural.
It sounds like, when you talk about supernatural, it sounds like you made up for, God helped you make up for lost time. He accelerated things.
That's right. Sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, since we're talking about eyesight, I'm wondering about vision.
Yeah.
And not just our ability to see, you know, read a book, or see a basketball, or shoot a ball through a hoop, but what kind of vision has God given you?
That's good.
In your heart and in your life for the future?
Well, I think definitely being a part of the team that I'm on and being in, you could say, a position of influence on the team.
Yes.
I definitely have been able to impact others on my team, and I've shared the gospel with a few of my teammates.
Awesome. That's great.
I mean, the hard part isn't even that. The hard part is living it out daily, and I know they see my character, and I know that they see, you know, what my values are, but I'm wanting to live it out and communicate to them at the same time, the love of God. And I definitely a hard part of that as well has been like the day-to-day being positive and like trying to uplift the team environment, because you know, when you're practicing for several hours each day and when you've got such, you know, a lot of things happening, and it's very easy to just fall into the routine and kind of just go through the motions without, you know, really giving it your all, without enjoying it. And so I've really been wanting to be a positive influence on the team and like encourage my teammates whenever I see them down and like tell them when they do things that are good. Even on, you know, whether I'm on the court or on the bench, like wanting to everyone to do their best and wanting, I'm thinking more and more beyond just this 4 years of playing, you know, out of college.
Mm-hmm.
What's the important thing about this, and how am I glorifying God in this time? Because I do want this to be meaningful, and I do want all my teammates, through knowing me, to, you know, have seen God in my life.
Yeah. You know, Rebecca, you know, it sounds like, you know, what you've gone through, there's a brokenness in you where, you know, you realize it's not about you. It's really about God's purpose for your life. And, you know, having an opportunity to play on the collegiate level basketball, you realize you're there not just for you yourself, but it's really to influence the people you play with. And it's always a challenge. Yeah, we share our faith, but to live it daily, it's a challenge. And no one's perfect. We all struggle with that. But I appreciate hearing that from you, that you are there with the bigger picture and understanding that God placed you there for a reason.
Yes, which I constantly have to remind myself of, and my parents remind me of all the time as well, because it's so easy to get, you know, focused in on the day-to-day. And just like I'm trying to always encourage others, I really have to encourage myself and the Lord too, and just remind myself how good God's been, and, you know, keep my eyes on the future and on my, you know, on my destiny, not just be so caught up with the pain of the process, you know?
Right.
Which it can be very painful.
Sometimes so. God gives us a platform because of the pain.
That's right.
In fact, the platform gets wider. The platform of relatability,
yeah,
and connectivity is widened because of pain. Because of,
yeah,
those blindsided moments in our lives. They may not happen all the time, but they're so devastating. It could send a person really down a path of destruction, if not for, like, you've had just a tremendous family support, spiritual guidance. And then look at where you are now and where you're headed.
That's right.
When we come back, Rebecca Du is going to continue to just talk story with us.
Yes.
You know, heart-to-heart stuff. I mean, we've gotten pretty deep here,
yeah,
Coach,
man,
you know, with
Rebecca. Awesome.
And, yeah, and Rebecca, you've been very generous with us, and we appreciate your openness.
Yes.
Sorry if it's too deep.
No.
But when we come back, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more. And, you know, like we talked about a platform. If there's anyone who has a platform today, it's you. Because somebody is being blindsided right now, and they're still spinning. They don't even know how to make sense of it all. But I'm wondering if you could share a word of encouragement and hope with them. Rebecca Du will be back with us. So stay with us. Okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii radio show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest today, Rebecca Du. Rebecca is an outstanding athlete, and she's a scholar athlete.
That's right.
She plays center for the University of Hawaii women's basketball team. And not only tall in stature, but it's an extension of her inner life.
That's right.
And that inner life, the life of faith, has come and been tested through some very, very trying circumstances, which obviously gives her a unique platform to share out of brokenness, share out of disappointments.
You know, Rebecca, all what you went through bringing you to such a time as this right now, you know, what would you say to someone, you know, a listener today who needs encouragement? What would you say to them?
Oh, I would just say that God has a destiny for each and every one of us, and it may be not what you think it is. Like 10 years ago, I would never have thought I'd be playing basketball still. 5 years ago, I never thought I'd be at University of Hawaii. But just being diligent and working towards the dreams God has put into your heart, and willing to follow his voice, even if he leads you someplace you weren't expecting, and even if the process seems really painful, or, you know, they're unexpected things that come up, because they do happen, and life happens. But when opportunity does come, we need to be ready and prepared to seize it and step out in faith and trust God with, you know, with all the faith that you have, and move towards what the perceived will of God is, you know, move towards what you think God is showing you, and that God rewards those who diligently seek him and who step out in faith.
You know, you did something that, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if it's a little different than what our instincts are. You know, when we're disappointed, I know when I've been blindsided, I know we all go through that in our lives, and you can't prepare for it.
That's
just happens.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, there have been moments, Rebecca, where I, and perhaps someone may feel like, you know, when that happens, the instinct is not to gravitate towards others.
Right.
The instinct is to go into isolation,
yeah,
you know,
kind of yeah,
like,
okay, yeah,
you know, go in the dark, so to speak. Like, you know how your eyes were covered with those dark eyeglasses, those dark shades. And you felt like you were in the dark, the darkness of the soul, so to speak,
yeah,
you know? So what was it that enabled you to kind of get out, you know, so that others could really support you? Because typically there are people around who want to help, right?
Right,
want to make a difference in that difficult time. But how was it for you?
Well, it wasn't I mean, it wasn't easy, and it wasn't like a one decision I made where I'm gonna not be sorry for myself, and then that was it. Like, I had to decide that every day, and like, decide to be involved with stuff, decide to go, you know, serve in the church, decide to hang out with people, even when I felt like being by myself. So it was beyond my feelings for sure, which definitely I feel like a lot of what I've learned from that time has been to not go so much by my feelings, but to go more by what God is telling me and what even people around me that I trust are telling me as well, and just listen to advice from other people.
That's good, you know, Rebecca, because a lot of times, you know, God wants to help us, but we sometimes push away the very people that God's sending into our lives to help us. And you said it real clear. You had to fight through your feelings and just really, you know, do what you felt was the right thing. And by connecting with other people, God helped you to get where you are today.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like stepping out in faith, it was beyond the natural, and it was beyond what I wanted to do, what I felt like doing. And even some people around me were thinking, well, you've gone through this, like, you don't need to do this other stuff. Like, you've gone through this. But there were just certain things that God really put on my heart to do during that time, and I did them. But it was hard at times, and, like, even with anything, like, even with playing basketball, even with going to school, things like that, like, making a decision and then having the faith not only to make the decision but to continue to walk it out and not just say, oh, I'm going to go to school here, I'm going to play basketball here, but actually put in the hard work and be patient with it, because God will, through patience, have his perfect result in you through that. So,
our prayer today for our friends, a member of our community of listeners today, is that God will give you the grace and strength.
Yes,
and
we
know he will, like he did Rebecca, like you heard. The grace and the strength to go beyond feelings.
Yeah, that's it.
And to make a decision, even how difficult and straining it is, but to make a decision to open up your heart, open up, to make a decision to take action. In the following days, you're going to hear stories from people like Rebecca Du. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired. I want to invite you to visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org and get friends, family to listen to this as well,
right,
at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Rebecca Du. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.